Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. By the way, we're starting a study on Wednesday night in the book of 1 Thessalonians. That might have been where this message, the seed came from, I don't know. But I'm trusting that it's what the Lord would have for us this morning. Every time you hear a message, remember that the preacher needs it just as much as anyone else. Really often I'm preaching to myself. I need to become more like Christ. I need to grow in my likeness to Christ. And I recognize and confess this morning my great need of the Lord. And He's the only one that can help us. Amen? Let's look at verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll read through the remainder of that chapter, but my focus will be on verse 18 because I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about hindrances. And I trust that the Lord will help us with this word. Verse 13 of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. By the way, it doesn't help much if you don't believe it. Right? For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. I really wanted to see you. I tried several times, but Satan hindered us. He said, I wanted to get back there. I wanted to see you face to face, but Satan put some obstacles in the way. For what is our hope? Our joy, our crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we need you. We are of heavy heart. We need the help that comes from the Holy Ghost. And Lord, only you, God, can speak to us and direct us and instruct us and show us, Lord, what it is that you'd have us to do. And we plead with you this morning that you'd be our great shepherd. Lord, we are sheep. Left to ourselves, we'll go astray. We need you, Lord, to direct our thoughts and direct us in the right way and help us to draw close to you. Lord, I pray if there's any in the service that are lost, help them to see that they need Jesus and help them to be stirred by the Holy Spirit to put their faith and trust in him that they might be born again. Lord, for your own children, Lord, that need help this morning, we pray, God, that you would encourage them, strengthen them, bless them. Lord, protect them, be their shield and buckler. Lord, help them to see that you're the answer. You, Lord Jesus, are the answer. And I pray, God, that we would come to you and find help and strength in the Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This a fact about life, that no matter what we attempt to do in any area of life, we're going to face obstacles. Every age, that when we're born, there's difficulties and problems and roadblocks. Until the time that we lay our head down on the deathbed, we're going to find things that are in the way, things that cause trouble, things that hinder us. Life is full of impediments. How many of y'all realize that? Hindrances. Difficulties. These difficulties are in every area of life too. It's not just that they are focused in on our spiritual hindrances, but they are in every aspect of our being. Our complete man, we find hindrances, hindrances, and hindrances. Our health. How many of you are struggling with some issue of health and find that's a big hindrance? I mean, you would think if this health problem was removed, there's no telling what great things I could do. You know, that's our thinking, right? Physical hindrances, by the way, some are born with that, who have to endure that their entire life. Some, along the way, face a tragic accident, and it begins to define their life. And then the others are afflicted by disease or other problems. And so physically, even the age of a person, it begins to affect that individual's ability. And he finds, and she finds, hindrances. Hindrances in her homes. Hindrances in her holiness. I don't know about, I love my wife to death. I thank the Lord for her. But you know what? We don't always have peace in our home. You know, sometimes there are problems. And most of the time the problems are from the one that I look at in the mirror. And sometimes it comes from her too. She'd admit that. And it takes work to have a loving, holy, happy home. But there's a lot of hindrances to that in. And our walk with God as well. Satan does not sit on the sideline. He's not taking a vacation. He's not saying, well, I'm not going to mess with you people that have Christ, the Holy Spirit living in you. No, he even affects the church and is busy trying to put roadblocks in front of God's people and God's kingdom. How many of y'all seen that and experienced that as well? Amen. It may shock you this morning, and I'm not making this statement so you raise your hand and say, Brother Tommy, that's you keep threatening that you're going to say something that's completely unbiblical and see if we're going to raise our hand or something. But it may shock you that even God is hindered. Seems that's the look I'm expecting, Sister Debbie. But what? You can hinder God. Look at Psalms 81. Psalm 81. And you can, as soon as I read this, you'll think of some other passages that are similar to this. Look at Psalms 81 and verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Whatever you need, just ask me. Is that what he's saying? But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Look at this. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I, what's that next word? Should soon have subdued their, I would have conquered their enemies quickly, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured. They would have been prosperous, and the enemy would have been defeated. That's what I wanted to do. Well, God, what kept you from doing that? My people would not listen to me. My will was hindered. So God can be hindered. The best thing that you and I can do is submit ourselves completely to the Lord. You might remember in Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus said this word, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings. And then he says, and ye would not. Remember, Jesus even said, I would have done many wonderful miracles here, but you didn't have faith. I would have healed all the sick, but there was no faith there. I couldn't do what I would do. Do you know it's God's will that everyone ever born would go to heaven when they die? He said he's not willing that any should perish. Isn't that what he said? I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, he tells you we're to pray for every man, kings and authorities. And he said, it's his will that all would be saved. God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering. This is 2 Peter 3, 9. Long-suffering toward us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. God so loved the world. Right, amen? Everybody. So why is there a multitude of people going to hell? God has done everything that needs to be done to save them. All could be saved. The preacher, what is it that they must do? Receive the gift that God has given. The gift that God is, the gift, eternal life. Receive his son. And if you receive his son, you'll go to heaven. But they would not. When God has a will, and you have a will, and the devil has a will, is all that true? God has a will, you have a will, and the devil has a will, there's trouble. Right? Oh, I would to God that my will was completely yielded to him in every aspect of my life. That's what I want. That's what the Holy Spirit stirs in me to have, to be, to desire. But I find a hurdle has tripped me up. An obstacle has come in the way. And you'll see this often throughout your spiritual journey. We were going to start a visitation program. We're going out every other Saturday, knocking on doors, remarking the streets. The Lord gave us a good day yesterday. We didn't get to talk to a lot of people, but we still covered a good area, and we talked to some folks and left some tracks. So we praise the Lord for that. And our goal is to reach our entire area with the gospel. And you should see our map. There's a lot of roads that we've finished completely. And we praise the Lord for that. But the first Saturday we went out, we scheduled to go out the first Saturday. What do you think happened the very first Saturday? This is the Saturday we're going. It poured rain. It flooded. And me and Brother Bruce, you know, Bruce, you get to tell him the story about the rainy day that the boy went out knocking on doors. But he told me that story. I said, well, we can't stay at the church for that kind of story. I'll get soaking wet. And we went out, knocked on a few doors, but that happens every time. Come to this altar, make a decision for Christ, get up and expect something's going to be thrown up in the way. You're going to face some hindrances and difficulties in life. That's exactly what we're taught in the model prayer. That is what we refer to sometimes as the Lord's Prayer. We're taught to pray these words, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we say, Lord, holy is your name. Your name is highly exalted. There's no one like you. Jesus said, go and pray, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. And then he said, we are to pray this. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to make that a daily prayer. Lord, your will done in earth as it's done in heaven. Your will done in earth as it's done in heaven. Let me ask you a question. Is God's will being done on earth? Look at society. Look at what's going on in the world. No, it's not, because man is in rebellion against God. So if you have a will and God has a will and the devil has a will, you're going to face some troubles and problems. And as young Christians especially, don't expect that your Christian life will be just a steady incline. I promise you, on that path, there's some rocks. There's some rough spots. Some of those rocks and rough spots are the ones you put there yourself. Amen?
Amen.
So it's not a carefree, problem-free life. There is difficulties and obstacles and impediments that get in the way. And you and I need to continue just to move forward by the grace of God. Amen. What are the sources of those impediments? I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, because one is obvious from our text, right? Who is hindering Paul from going back to visit the Thessalonians? Who did Paul say, I wanted to come and I really want to come, but I haven't been able to? Who is keeping him from going?
Satan.
Persecution. Trouble. Satan has stirred up circumstances so he can't travel like he needs to travel. And I just want to say this again. You have an enemy that detest your spiritual development. There's two things that we really can't comprehend. We cannot comprehend how much God loves us. Well, if we could ever just kind of taste that and really experience the depth of that love, it would transform our life, because our love for Him would be an overflowing love. If we could get a hold of how much He loves us, it would transform us. But secondly, neither do we understand how much the devil hates us. And he's doing everything he can to put every roadblock in your way that he can put there. Right? Do you realize this morning you have an enemy, an adversary that fights real hard at your spiritual progress? Sometimes it's our own self. Galatians 5:17 says, For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. Listen to these words. So that ye cannot do the things ye would. Every believer has the Spirit of God on the inside. Holy Ghost saying, live for God, love God, serve God, draw closer to God. But there's also another part of us that's flesh that says, don't read your Bible, you're tired. You can read it later. Don't talk to them about Jesus. You'll embarrass them. You'll embarrass yourself. Has he ever said that to you, Brother Lewis? Don't talk to them. You don't know what you're going to say. You end up embarrassing them. Don't embarrass your family. You know, anything he could put out there. And our old flesh wars against that, doesn't he? And then sometimes it's someone else or something else. Paul wrote in Galatians 5:17, ye did run well, who did hinder you? Said you were doing really well, but someone hindered you, right? So watch what Paul does here in this text. He identifies the source. Y'all see what he did? The first thing he did to find out, how can I get past this hindrance, he identified the source. You say, preacher, why is that important to nail down where the opposition is coming from? Anyone want to help me with that? Because it could come from several different directions. Right? Remember, there was a time Paul said that Satan hindered him from going to the Thessalonians. But do you remember another time in the Bible that Paul said, I wanted to go over there, and who restrained him from going over there? It wasn't Satan this time. Who was it? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God said, no, you can't go there. Go to Macedonia. Do y'all remember that? Have you ever wondered this as you're trying to advance and your spiritual life, be more like Christ? Is this the devil? Or is this the Spirit? Or what's the other option? Is it me? Right? So it's important that you identify the source, because you don't want to be resisting the Holy Ghost. Anybody here want to resist the Holy Ghost? I don't. But you don't want to yield to the devil. Anybody here want to yield to the okay devil? That's what you want at this time. And neither do you want to yield to your own self at times, right? Paul was clear. It is Satan that's opposing the work of Christ. Remember in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 6, James says when you are facing difficulties and trials. I'll read this for you. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations. The word temptation there means difficulties, trials, problems, and I insert the word hindrances. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or produces patience. What does that word patience mean? It means I'm going to continue to live for Christ no matter what I face. Prison, cancer, divorce, the loss of a child, whatever it is, I'm going to be faithfully serving Christ joyfully. And so God allows sometimes things to come in your life to strengthen you, so when you face that greater trial, you don't get knocked off track. How many of y'all know that's true? Is that what James is saying? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. Then notice what James went on to say. But let patience have her perfect work. What do you do in times like that? You wait on God. You rest in God. You trust in God. And you say, God, I'm trusting you. You work this out. And then he said that you may be perfect, mature, and entire, complete, wanting nothing. Boy, don't you want to live that kind of Christian life? How many of you crave that? Perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Notice what he says. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He said, look, when you're going through a trial, get on your face and say, God, what is the purpose of this? Is this you putting me in the fire? If it is, I yield to it. Keep me in there as long as you need me to be in there. Burn out anything that's not necessary. Purify my faith. Make me like Jesus. Do that gracious work in me. But if you're wearing out my backside because I'm in disobedience, I don't want to keep going to the woodshed. I want the whooping to stop. Whatever I need to do, I will repent. Right? So in the trying stage, you say, Lord, I'll rest in this. You purify me. But you don't want to do that if he's whooping you. You want to say, Lord, what's wrong? If I've offended you, I'll make it right. Show me what to do. Amen?
Amen.
But what if it's an attack of the enemy? What are you supposed to do then? Resist. Steadfast in the faith. No, devil. I'm serving Christ. Get thee behind me. In Jesus' name. Right? And then keep resisting him. And what does the Bible promise? He will flee. So you've got to identify the source, because if you don't identify the source, you don't know how to pray. You don't know what to do. And you may be doing the wrong thing. You say, preacher, how in the world do you identify the source? You go, the only one that knows all things. And you ask, according to James, you ask him for wisdom. Lord, what is this about? By the way, don't pray that doubting. Expect an answer from God. In fact, if you say, Lord, what is this about? And you haven't heard anything, you say, Lord, I've asked you. I know you're going to give me an answer, but I still need to know. What is this? What's the source? What's the purpose? Do you want me to fight the devil? Do you want me to repent of sin? Do you want me to just wait until you purify me? I will joyfully do whatever it is you want me to do, but let me know if you will. Pray that prayer. He will let you know. Identify the source. Paul knew it's the devil. If there's weakness in your life concerning self-control, remember what the Bible said in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. What is one of the fruits of the Spirit? You say, preacher, my hindrance is myself. I don't have much self-control. Well, where do you go and get help with that? God. You say, Holy Spirit, that's your fruit. That's what you produce. How many of you have great self-control just on your own? On your own. Some people do because they were raised to have it. But most of us, without the help of God, we don't have any in any area.
Amen.
Right? Some do. Majority don't. But we can get help from God in that area. Amen. So identify the source. What is next? What does Paul do next? Notice he exercises faith. Look at verse 17. In verse 18, he's about to say Satan hindered us. But look at what he says in verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time. He said, he's not letting me come now. But it ain't going to be long.
Okay.
Is that what he's saying in verse 17? He said, he's stopping you now, but it's not going to be a long time. It'll be a short time. I'm coming. I'll be there. God will make a way. May not be able to do it right now, but I trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Satan set up the roadblocks, hurdles. And Paul knew that God would allow him to go in a short period of time. Amen? Some of Satan's most powerful tools are doubt and discouragement. How many of y'all battle with that? I think if you're If y'all ever saw the Olympic people doing the hurdles, they run like there's no hurdle there. Don't know how they do that. I mean, they don't even look like they're jumping. When I did hurdles, I had to jump. You know, they're just. Whoop, whoop, whoop. But on those hurdles that Satan sets up are doubt, discouragement, disbelief, depression. Right? And he puts them up anytime he can. How to overcome doubt, discouragement, depression, or any other thing. Does the world have a pill for that? The truth is, the world has no medication for that. Does the world have a plan, a path to overcome it? The truth is, they don't. You know where you get power over discouragement and doubt and disbelief? These things are spiritual things. These are spiritual battles that have to be defeated spiritually. How many of y'all would agree with that? And there's one who can conquer anything, and that is our God. Amen. When I share the gospel, and I present the gospel to someone, and they say, and I say, "Would you trust Christ today?" And they say, "No, I'm not ready." I usually say, "There's only four reasons why someone wouldn't trust Christ." And you might want to think about that. A preacher shared this, Brother Johnny Pike shared this with me, and I grabbed a hold of it because it's good to kind of identify what's holding that person back from trusting Jesus. And it's good for them when you leave for them to know, hey, that's the reason I'm not trusting Jesus. And there's only four of them. So you don't have to list 40. One is they don't know. And if you presented the gospel as you should have, you could say, I've shown you from the Bible how that you can be saved. So that's not your excuse. Now, you know, if you turn from your sin and trust Jesus, you can have eternal life. Right. And then the second reason is there's sin in their life and they don't want to give it up.
That's right.
It might be alcohol. It may be a wrong relationship, an illicit relationship. It may be something else. They're stealing money from work. And they keep putting it in the bank and it's making them wealthy and nobody's found out yet and they can't imagine stop doing that. It may be a many, multitude, whatever the sin is. Satan will use anything to keep someone in chains of darkness, right?
Amen.
Usually I share a third one and then the fourth one is pride.
Yep.
They say something like this, "I will bend the knee to no one, not even God. I'll run my own life. I'm in control of it. Nobody's going to tell me what to do." If you ever listen to the atheist Christopher Hitchens when he was alive, that was basically his concept. I don't want God telling me what to do. But I skipped the third one. The third one is this. You'll meet people who think, "I can't live the Christian life. Preacher, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And there's no way in the world I can see myself praying and living for Christ and going to church. I just don't think I can live the Christian life." You know what that is? Doubt. Unbelief. That right there is hindering them from receiving Christ. I don't think I can. You know what kept me from running to the altar? I really didn't think I could live it. Until I joyfully found out it wasn't I that lived the Christian life, but it was Christ that lived it in me. What a great, glorious truth. It's Jesus. It's not Tommy. Amen.
Amen.
So usually that person I'll share with them, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name." I said, if you'll receive him, he'll give you the power to live the Christian life. And he will help you live the Christian life. Amen?
Amen.
But you know, there are a lot of people that are lost because they don't think they could live the Christian life. The devil works in discouraging. What do you have to do? You have to exercise faith. Remember when King Hezekiah was faced with a great Syrian army? And y'all remember the number of that army that was facing
Hezekiah, Jerusalem, 185,000 plus. So some of them left. A few gave testimony back at the house what happened. And remember, Sennacherib sent the letter and he said, Hezekiah, don't tell them that the Lord will save you. The Lord sent us. And we've conquered all the other gods that we've come against. Your God is not going to be any different than those gods. What did Hezekiah do? He took that letter, laid it on the altar, and he said, God, you see what they're saying about you? Can you believe they said you're no better than Baal or Ashtaroth or Molech? They compared you to Molech. What are you going to do about that? And God said to Hezekiah, Hezekiah, don't worry about it. You won't even have to shoot a single arrow. I'll take care of it. They woke up the next morning, 185,000 died of the enemy. They didn't have to fight. They didn't have to swing a sword at all. God said, don't compare me to those false gods. What did Hezekiah do? He's facing a hindrance. He's facing death. They've destroyed most armies that's come across him. What does he do when he faces this enemy? He brings it to God. You have to learn to do the same thing. You're going to face hindrance after hindrance after hindrance after hindrance. But bring that to God and let God help you to overcome that. Amen? Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David had gone with the Philistines to fight against Israel. Remember that? And then the Philistines said, wait a minute. I don't think we should take him with us. If we get in the heat of the battle, he may just turn on us and fight for them. And the king said, the Philistine said, no, yeah, I know David, he'll stay with us. And then some of his counselors said, you don't know him that well. And so finally the king said, David, just go on back to the house. Y'all remember in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, he goes back to Ziklag. What does he find in Ziklag? His homes, his tents are burnt. The animals are gone. His wife is missing, his children are gone. The rest of the soldiers, the same thing. Their wives have been captured. Their children have been captured and put in slavery. And it's great distress. And the men are looking at David and they're saying, David, it's your fault. If we hadn't gone out after Israel, this would have never happened. We'd have been whole. We could have fought off the enemy. And they talked about stoning him. And then there's an amazing little passage. It's found in verse 6, and it says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what David did? He exercised faith. He said, God, you're an all-powerful God. God, you can do anything. You created the world just by speaking it into existence. You parted the Red Sea. You defeated the nation of Egypt. 10 plagues. You're all powerful. There's nothing you can't do. You can conquer any enemy. You can give any victory. I'm trusting. Boy, his heart, his faith started swelling up. He said, Lord, what do you want us to do? And God said, you go after them. You'll recapture every single one. As Paul Harvey used to say, read the rest of the story. And you'll find out he did just that. How do you exercise faith when you've fallen? And you face a hindrance. And Satan's attacking you. Or your flesh. You're trying to do something for God. And your flesh just keeps getting in the way. You keep stubbing your toe. And you're tempted to stop. You're tempted to say, I just can't keep facing these enemies. Exercise faith. Remember how great God is. Remember God's promises. Amen? Amen? Remember, God never makes a mistake. Boy, that's a blessing to me. May the 2nd, 1996, I was working late at night. A young lady ran a stop sign, hit me right behind the driver's side door of my truck, flipped the truck, landed against a big oak tree. I was thrown out of it.
Laying on the side of the road, I heard people screaming. I thought, these people are in a mess. I was laying there and I didn't know what was wrong, but my muscles in my leg was straining like I'd lifted a weight, and it was so, I had to let it down, but I couldn't let it down. It just kept straining like that. What in the world? So I found out when I got to the hospital, put them on life support, broke my back, L3, 4, and 5. L4 was a burst fracture. It just shattered. Fractured this femur. It was a spiral fracture. Broke ribs and all kind of stuff. I was laying in the hospital bed, people visiting me. One of the things that helped me through all of that is I know God never makes a mistake.
Amen.
This is not an accident. I didn't ask for it, didn't choose it. But God in His sovereign plan, for whatever reason that is, allowed it to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Am I going to lay on that hospital bed and fuss with my Creator and get bitter against Him or argue with Him? How can I do that? He is so good to me. He had been so good to me. I had no reason to doubt that He would not continue to be good to me. And He has been, by the way. Let me close quickly by saying this. Remember, find the source of the attack. You need to define that. God will help you do that. Amen?
Amen.
Exercise faith. Lord, I've struggled here. I've struggled here. I've struggled here. Find a promise in the Word of God. Find a text that deals with that issue. Stand on that promise. Quote that promise. Pray that promise. Expect God to give you victory over that. How many of you know? How many of you move forward after facing a hindrance? How many? I have.
Amen.
You can too. Amen?
Amen.
What's the final exhortation from this passage? Find a way forward. This is an important lesson. Most people believe this was the first epistle or letter Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians. Think about that. He couldn't get to them. He did two things. He couldn't get to them himself. So he put pen to paper and wrote this epistle. Now, y'all are not on the shouting ground here. But if I could, I'd run around and shout for every single one of y'all. Why? Because he still was able to engage them. They got help when they got the letter. But listen to me. We also got help. Because it's recorded for us as well.
Amen.
The devil said, I'm going to stop you. Paul said, I can't go. The devil's hindering me. What can I do? I can write a letter. Often when the devil tries to put up a roadblock, it turns out to advantage the Christian far more than what you and I would ever dream it would. When he attacks, you know when the devil attacks us, you know what happens? It really makes us stronger. If it didn't make us strong, if we respond in faith, if we trust God, it strengthens us. If it didn't, God wouldn't let him attack us.
Amen.
And he said that again in James 1, didn't he? So even his attacks, the enemy's attacks, helps to strengthen us when he fights us another day down the road. Amen? What two things did he do? He wrote a letter and he also sent Timothy. He couldn't go himself, but he sent someone who could. You say, preacher, what's the point? No matter what you're facing as far as a hindrance, I guess I thought about this a little bit more because my father-in-law is getting older and he doesn't like it.
It's not for sissies.
Amen. 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 That's what he would say too. So you younger people, you need to, you know, start doing some mental exercise. Get ready. Because some trouble's on the way. He's always been outdoor. He's always worked, you know, 24 hours a day. He'd work about 20 of them. Active, busy, loved to be outside, always doing something. He reminds me of a lot of Brother Bruce. If Bruce was to sit down for a little while
and couldn't go nowhere, he'd go crazy. We go to visit my father-in-law, 4th of July, everybody's like, okay, we can just have fun. He said, I've got this project. I want to tear down that barn. And we'd end up working the whole 4th of July. And he was always, always, now physically, he can't do it. And it's hard for him. Remember I told you all the story, he hooked up a propane tank to his house. And they heat it with the propane tank. And so he got the tank there, he ran the line, he started getting the nuts tightened down, couldn't tighten it down enough. It leaked. He just got so frustrated with it. And finally his son came over there and he said, and all he did, Brother Tommy, was pull it just a little bit and it stopped the leak. And I said, but Brother Otis, you set the tank up, you run the line. You got everything done, but that little bit, that's all you needed. Just that little, you did everything else. I'm going to quote him now. You don't understand. Is that a good quote, Brenda? You don't understand. It's hard when you can't do what you want to do. But listen, even then, there's something you can do. Right? I can't get to Thessalonians, but I can write a letter. I can send Timothy. You know, don't get focused on what you can't do. Find out, with talking to Jesus, what you can. I talked to our men, I'll say this in closing, in our men's meeting. I said, our church is right at the stage right now where we're not large enough to have some people who want to minister to take over a class or to do, you know, this kind of ministry. And we're not small enough that, you know, people that are here, they realize, hey, there's not really much I can do because the church is so small. So we're kind of in a little bit of a catch-22. And if you're not careful when you're waiting on ministry, you won't minister.
Amen.
And what did I tell our men? I said, men, there's a lot you can do now. Brother Brian's, I hope you're not, he asked me about it, so I'm certain he won't be embarrassed about it. But he's looking at going to some of the retirement homes and preaching on Sunday. In fact, did you get the two Saturday? Preaching on Saturday, did you get the two dates set?
I'm going to finalize them this week.
Okay. So he's got two dates he's already kind of looking at setting. He's already talked to Brother Lewis about going with him on one of those. And I'm sure that he could, once he gets it settled like he wants to do it, I'm sure he would like some other people to help as well. Maybe somebody play guitar and sing some songs and minister to this. I'm saying, he said, Brother Tommy, God's called me to do this. He wants me to preach the word. Guess what? There's a lot of places to preach the word. Amen?
Amen.
So, preacher, I'm a teacher. There's a lot of people that need to be taught. Your neighbors need to be taught. How about starting a neighborhood Bible study in your home? If you could pray and say, God, I can't do that, but what can I do? There's no telling what God would do. Maybe write a letter that God would use from generations to come if he tarries in his coming. Amen? Could that be possible?
I write songs or makeup songs. I don't really write. Usually my songs are like silly stuff. You know, Lily was over there the other night and I said, we made up a song about tickle and a pickle and how her feet stank and then I tickle. But I'm not a songwriter. And a lot of songs that are being written today are really focused on the man, people, individuals. It's all I. But some of you could write some great music that would glorify God. Amen? There's a lot that can be done. Don't get stuck. Pray, God, what can I do? And there's a letter to be written. There's a son to be sent. There's something God would do no matter what the hindrance is. Amen?
Amen.
Find out the source. Exercise faith. And then find a way forward. Could you do that? And I start this morning by coming to an altar and pray. Saying, God, I need your wisdom. I need your help. I want you to direct my steps. I'm trusting you. Guide my steps, Lord. If you're here this morning, you're unsaved. That's the first step. Always the first step. How many agree with that?
Amen.
Is being saved. Amen? So if you're lost, come this morning. Trust in Christ. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning.